last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents, a curated actual play 5e Dungeons & Dragons game set in the world of the monthly subscription service Dungeon in a Box.
This is the third episode
of the first released subscription, The Caravan of Peril. So come on in, grab a seat by the bar as we present this very special limited series.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So
Tavern Tales presents Dungeon in a Box, first campaign, The Caravan of Peril.
My name is Lucas, and I am playing Thifrud, the Dwarven Cleric. And I have just remembered, looking at my character sheet, that Thifrud has a pet mouse.
Really?
Oh.
Yes. I think that was one of the trinkets that I rolled when we did last session.
Yeah. I've never heard of this pet mouse. Did you leave the pet mouse behind in Mariposa? Did he stay at the book club inn and be tended by the
bartender? I don't know if Thifrud would trust the owner of that inn to take care of that. So I'm going to say he's been hanging out in my pocket.
Eating scraps.
Exactly. Just every so often, just open up a little bit and put some breadcrumbs in my pocket.
And what's your mouse's name?
The mouse's name is Fifril.
Hello, I am Marie Claire, and I am playing Nem, the paladin elf. My god that I worship is Sylvanas. And stuff about Nem, she has some jewelry that she wears that's more on the lines of like wearing beads rather than something that's worth something, but it means something to her.
Hi, my name is David. I'm playing Torin, who is a level 1 human ranger. A little bit about Torin. He came upon this adventure and was hired by way of a well-thrown dart.
I think that's a great way to get a job, really.
He also does not have a pet.
And I am Kyle, the Dungeon Master, and with that, let us go into the adventure itself. It is a fair evening in the yawning portal, in Waterdeep. There are many, many individuals gathered around the roaring fireplace on a balmy fall evening. The fireplace is not lit, and there is an individual standing on the bricks that make the hearth, telling a tale. How many people are listening to that tale remains to be seen. The barkeep in the back is patiently and politely wiping down a few drying barsteins.
If I may, I will continue the tale of the most horrendous trip to Greyhaven I have ever been on. So far, things had gone rather smoothly. The guards didn't seem to have to work at all. They spent more time harvesting berries and chatting with the wagoneers than guarding in the traditional sense of the word. They went in that gnome's wagon and brewed a bunch of potions and were very happy with themselves. So happy, the dwarf shouted.
Huzzah!
And now let us peek into the adventure itself, as a light rain in the morning makes way to heavier showers as the group slowly makes their way towards Greyhaven. The road turns swiftly into clinging muck, and anything that isn't covered is soon soaked through. Arul Hana huddles in the lead wagon, a wide-brimmed hat on his head, water coursing down the back of it and into the open supply wagon. The rain is so thick and constant that every check you make, the difficulty is increased by one, as well your perception scores to detect things along the way are now with disadvantage. Where is everyone in the caravan as we begin our sodden trek?
I'm guarding at this point. Right now I'm around the second caravan where the traders are, mm-hmm. just to see if I can hear any of their conversation as well as looking out.
The brothers that are not quite brothers.
Mm.
Excellent.
I'm hanging out closer to the back of the caravan.
Okay.
On probably the last cart.
The last cart is Findald and Fizzle Findazzle's wagon. The bright and garish colored wagon where the potions are brewing.
I will hang out there in an very advantageous spot to keep watch. I don't know if it's a closed wagon, if I can sit on top or anything like that.
It is a wooden wagon with a closed top. You can sit on top of it. You are soaked through and you are not out of the elements. Your hair matted thickly to your head. Your single braid. I believe actually you have two, right? Because you have the middle one and the one on the,
and the one on the left.
Left. It's just a stream of water pouring from those braids.
But I am vigilant.
Nem is going to be walking alongside. I'll be in the middle. How many wagons is it?
There are 8 wagons in total.
Okay, I'll be on the middle, but like the opposite side that he's walking on, just further down, within sight of Fifrud.
Excellent. Can I get the two of you, David and Marie Claire, to roll a 20-sided die and tell me who rolled higher?
Me, by 1, because I got a 2.
And I got a 1.
Good start to the night.
So both of your characters are dead. And
it all comes down to Fifrud and Fifrud.
Yes, this entire game, you didn't realize you're actually in acid rain of the 90s, and it has melted you all. Fifrud, you
may
now roll a
d20.
No, with that, you hear the sounds of grumbling up ahead and in the woods in front of the caravan as it's moving along. But before you inspect or look into what is going on with those grumblings, we go back to the morning, where after a breakfast made by Arul Hanna, a delicious feast. This man knows how to cook. He made the most beautiful poached eggs that you didn't think would even be possible to create on an open trail in front of a roaring fire. He made such a beautiful fire, you have no idea, as it was pouring rain. It started raining in the evening before. It rained all night long. And where did he get all the wood and keep it dry to have a fire? These are questions that doubtlessly will haunt you for years to come. The quality of the splendid breakfast, the depth and color of that beautiful bonfire. However, when breakfast was done, he kind of just walked away, and all of the cleanup of the dishes and all of the reloading of the wagon had to be done by the guards themselves.
Huh. Mm. Does that include us?
You are the guards.
We are the guards.
You are the entire extent of the guards. However,
darn.
our good friend, Alin, was not amongst you for breakfast, despite wonderful smells that could be even detected through the rain. For she had overstayed an overlong watch the night before, and she seems to have taken ill. And she is recuperating in Findal's wagon, stretched out on his bed with a bright red nose and the sniffles and a great deal of moaning and complaining that leads to no one really wanting to go in and check on her.
So she's with the dagger that's still wrapped up in Findal's wagon. Is that?
Well, we'll get to the dagger in a moment, because I don't think it was clearly stated what was going on with that at the end of the last game. But it's neither here nor there. Full bellies, a joyful start to the morning, and as it gets on towards lunch, this growling and grumbling coming from in front of Nem. But I will point out another reason that no one goes to check in on Alin in Findal's wagon is because Carrie conducted a Facebook poll this week to determine how and whether one should wear garments or not to bed. And the result of that poll was a resounding do not wear garments to bed. So there is a huddled and ill naked Alin in Findal's wagon, and even Findal is not in there.
Have we seen Findal leave then?
No, you did not see Findal leave.
Oh.
With that, and the brewing health potions. Hopefully their olfactory effervescence will help cure her ills. We move on.
Is Findel in one of the other wagons, or is he getting wet like the rest of us?
You have not determined. Perhaps he did go back inside of his wagon. He definitely was outside the wagon the last time you guys looked in on Alin, who was feverishly removing all of her clothes.
She always does that.
I think first things first we need to do is clean up from breakfast.
Actually, yes, absolutely. That's already been done.
Oh,
the breakfast has been cleaned up. Your decisions to clean up being wholehearted or half-hearted or with lackluster care are yours to have chosen. The caravan master's wagon could have been reloaded in perfect fashion or have everything dirtily thrown into the wagon. That is for you guys to determine. If you would like to take a moment to do so, you may. But I am more interested in what's going on with the grumbling to the left of the wagon train.
I'm going to say, Torin, I think I hear something. I'm just not... Yeah, it definitely sounds angry and maybe hungry. I'm not sure.
Okay. So she pretty much yells this to me.
I mean, I walk up like a wagon and then I'm like, hey, Torin.
Okay.
Because you're like a wagon away. That's.
I drop back to converse.
Are you going to stay on your side and we'll just kind of talk through the wagons?
Sounds good.
So I'm going to say, I hear growling on this side.
I go over to her side.
It's just the two of you now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything to indicate that I should go anywhere, have I?
As soon as Torin is there, I'm going to go back and tell Fifrud. I just don't want to make like a huge ruckus and worry the wagon patrons.
The lead wagon seems to have come upon the growling and grumbling that is going on to the left of the road. But just a quick thing, as that wagon passes and the teller tells the story, how is the lead wagon packed up? Did everyone put everything away nice and neatly, or was it haphazard and spilled about?
I think there was a certain level of rush to get out of the rain.
Yeah.
So maybe not quite as neatly as many people would have liked.
I mean, tried, but if we were starting to get already really wet, then, or just everybody else was trying to leave.
But as a benefit, the rain kind of rinsed a lot of the dishes as we were moving them in.
All the cast iron is rinsing in the rain.
Yeah, perfect.
That's not a good way to handle that.
It's okay so long as you don't let it soak.
Or like let one single drop of water lay on it for a long period of time.
Well, it's sitting out and our old Hannah's got his, you know, big wide-brimmed hat slumped down with the horses pulled along. And from the leaves, a large figure, furry, shaggy, hairy figure emerges from within on all fours. And it looks distinctly bear-like to begin with. But that's just from the rear end of it. As it turns, you can see the owl-like head as an owl bear has been awakened from its slumber by the jingle, jangle, and chatter of a moving caravan down the road. It blearily looks at the group, and I would like initiative rolls.
Mm.
18.
15.
7.
Fifrud, you are probably 80 to 100 feet back, sitting on the top of a caravan. You are not exactly sure what's going on, yet somehow you are the first to act.
I thought that she dropped behind and told me.
She was on her way.
Yeah.
I was on my way.
Okay, hadn't gotten to me yet.
She's on her way to you. You can tell something's going on, but you're not too sure what. So I'll get you to make a perception check with disadvantage at a DC difficulty of 11 in order to see ahead.
So that'll be 8.
You are not too sure. You see a blurry thing up at the front there, but you're not... I mean, it doesn't seem like there's danger, Will Robinson, going on. So...
Can I see Nem walking towards me?
She seems to be trotting for you, towards you.
I can tell that something's going on, so I'm gonna start moving towards her to try to meet her halfway.
Well, you slowly climb down from the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the extent of where you can get, because it's gonna be your move action to do that. So you're then trotting along beside the last wagon in the caravan when it turns to Nem's turn.
So I do notice that the bear has emerged, right? And that it's made some sort of threatening gesture.
It's an owl bear. So your immediate assumption is that it's going to attack.
So then I'm going to say loudly to Fifrud, "Owlbear!" And then turn around and run back. But I probably have to move the whole time to get
there. It's a double move for you to clear the way back too. But you're right up there close to the owlbear, but not in its grill to end your turn, right?
If I can at least distract it a little bit.
You are close enough, but not immediately.
It's primary target.
So it's not going to attack you.
That's fine.
And it is now Torin's turn. At the start of your turn, Torin, can I just get you to make a nature check?
Good thing I have nature. 11.
When you look at the owlbear, this owlbear does not look to you, given your understanding of the natural order of things, to be immediately presenting a threat to the group that you would think it normally would. Owlbears are carnivorous from your understanding, and it would attack one of the horses or one of the dogs that one of the caravan owners has traveling with them. Might attack a person, but it would largely leave a giant caravan alone, given that it's not territorial or whatnot. When you look at the bed of leaves that it's climbed out of, it looks like the owlbear was slumbering there out of the rain in a large shedding of deciduous leaves. That it looks like it has knocked off the tree that it had been rubbing its back against either the night or day before. And you have now disturbed and awakened this owlbear, and your role tells you that there might be an opportunity to placate the owlbear as opposed to just attack it and drive it off. That there are other ways than just straight beating it with swords and sharp things if you can come up with it. What would you like to do?
I would like to motion to Nim in this case, because she's zooming up either toward me or past me.
Running past you.
That, hey, let's see if the caravan can go past and have it not attack us, but still ready the longbow just in case from a distance.
So you can do something called hold action, where you say, if the owlbear looks like it's about to attack, I'm going to shoot it. You could choose to do that too.
So talking is not really your action at all. That's just something that you get to do for free. Is there anything that you would like to do to try to not get this owlbear to attack the caravan?
How close is he to the first caravan?
Oh, he's right there.
I was just thinking maybe if some of the dishes weren't cleaned up very well, we could grab one and kind of push off to the side, but he's right up there already. I can't think of anything at this moment.
Which wagon are the dishes in?
The first wagon.
The first wagon?
Yep. Your character does have or does not have animal handling?
Does not.
Okay.
Animal handling is one of those ones that you need to be trained in it to...
You can make any check.
Okay, cool.
Typically, the skill check would be a wisdom check for animal handling. And if you're skilled in animal handling, you would then get to add that proficiency bonus. So you still get to make a check, right, even if you're not skilled.
Right, okay.
I like the idea of hold action.
Okay, so what hold action means is that you're basically using your action to set a modifier and condition for your character's reaction. You get one reaction around, and at the start of your next turn, your reaction will return to you. Right now, you're telling me that you would like to...
prepare my longbow to shoot if he attacks.
It definitely looks to you like the owlbear will attack unless something is done. If you would like to do that, by all means, you will get to roll your attack. It is going to be the owlbear's turn in a bare moment. Oh, really?
It looks like it's planning to attack.
Yes. Everyone can determine that very quickly here.
I use my reaction.
Sure, you know, you can don't have to hold action to do that. It definitely looks like the owlbear is going to attack unless something else is done to stop or stymie that owlbear from attacking. But with that, knowing that the owlbear is going to attack, if you have no other choices, please, by all means, go ahead and roll to attack.
26.
Yeah, you definitely hit. Did you roll a natural 20?
Yep.
Then you get to roll double damage against that owlbear. When you roll your damage on the longbow, it's written there next to it, and you will just get to roll twice as many dice, but add the same plus to that.
1d8 plus 4. So
you'll roll 2d8 plus 4.
18.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's one fine arrow.
Right. Mm-hmm. The owlbear is enraged by your attack against it.
Great. We get the one owlbear that's also a barbarian.
Foaming at the mouth and just charging.
It's an owl barbarian.
Oh.
Very funny.
Oh.
And with that, it will attack you twice. Once with its claws, as well as trying to snap at you.
Was I not a distance away?
Oh, you are not nearly far enough for it to not move and close with you to attack.
I'm still going to die.
Yes.
You're going to be fine.
It's very likely that you will perish.
It's okay. I have cure wounds and spare the dying.
I can lay on hands. Heal her up.
Where do I see my hit points here?
What is your armor class?
15.
I have definitely hit you with the very first attack. That is the beak attack, and it does 10 points of damage.
Okay. Thank you.
Then, are you still up? Oh, good, because then it will now claw you with its claws.
And miss?
It hits you with its claws and does an additional 14 slashing damage to Torin.
I've got to rethink this whole thing.
The owlbear attacks twice, mauling Torin brutally, and that is the end of the round. We return once again to Fifrud, who is about 80 feet away.
Great. This is why it's so good to be so spread out, right? So we can be just ready for this. Do I know anything about owlbears that might scare them away or anything like that?
I don't know. Make a nature check.
12.
You're pretty sure that an owlbear is just a natural predator and is hungry. So if you were to feed it something, then you might be able to lure it away or give it like something that would occupy its time while the caravan passed. Right now, it has Torin, so it will devour Torin if no one else attacks it and will allow the caravan to pass. Just
I'm
so you
not
know.
Sure if we want to let that happen.
Well, I'm just putting your options in front
right,
of you.
Right.
It's all about choices.
True, true. That is what these games are all about. I think my first priority right now will be to try to close the distance, and it's on the road now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, sure. It's right next to the caravan.
Yeah, so maybe get
scaring the crap out of all the caravan people. Our old Hannah's nudging the horses in the second cart are freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But great. Probably not next to the first caravan now,
not anymore,
because
no,
he came after
yeah,
me.
The caravan's exactly. Moving.
So maybe my dishes thing might work for you guys. I don't know.
The owlbear is between you and the dishes.
That's true, too.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right.
And he's got lunch already.
What would you like to do with your turn?
I will try to Sacred Flame. I
believe it's a dexterity check, or is it a wisdom check from the owlbear?
It's a dex save.
All right. The
radiant damage.
Owlbear makes its dexterity check, requiring what difficulty?
13. Spell save DC, right?
It has succeeded.
So it takes no damage.
I am now 25 feet closer and made it angry.
Well, it was already angry. Owlbear dodges out of the way. It is now your turn.
Oh, Nem. Thank you. Okay, so Nem's going to... She hasn't drawn her sword, her long sword yet. So she's going to draw her long sword, holding her shield. She's going to run in and slice up the owlbear's belly.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I can save you later. I'm just trying to piss it off so it stops mauling you. Oh, shit. Not successful. I'm sure. 11?
Nope, that is not successful. Torin, I need you to make a death-saving throw, whereupon you will roll a 20-sided die. And if you roll under 10, you begin the long march to death.
Do I add anything?
Nope. It is just a straight roll of the die.
Death. 3.
3. So you now make a mark on your character sheet next to failures. If you happen to score 3 failures before you get 3 successes, you will tender your character sheet, and Torin the guard will have perished. It is the owlbear's turn, and the owlbear, seeing a new individual swinging at it, will now bite and slash at Nem the paladin.
Come at me, bear. I mean owlbear.
With an arrow in its head.
Yeah.
I have an 18 to hit. No, sorry, 20 to hit.
That would be a hit, yes.
Then you take 10 points of damage from the beak of the owlbear. Right. And now it will slash at you with its claws. Oh, I only have a 15 to hit.
That is not a hit with my shield.
It misses with its claws. That was the owlbear's turn. We turn again to the top of the round, Fifrud.
I'm going to try to get closer. I'm at 55 now, so how close would I be at that point? If I take my movement to go as close?
You'll be 30 feet away.
30 feet away? Okay, cool. And I will cast Sacred Flame on the owlbear once more.
He will roll his dexterity saving throw. I have a natural 19.
Oh, Jesus.
So he is saved again.
He's a wiry.
Once again, your god cares not for your doings and wishes the success of the owlbear in disemboweling your guard comrades.
Yes. Fifrud grabs his holy symbol, holds it up to the sky, and says, "Smite the non-believer!"
Yeah. The lightning flashes from the sky, missing Nem by inches.
Like, what?
It's still raining, right?
Oh, indeed. Well and truly, thoroughly raining.
Maybe that's why Sacred Flame of Wisdom isn't working.
The rain falls in torrents down Torin's face. It almost looks as though he is crying as the blood pours freely from his wounds and is cleansed by the pool of godly tears as we mourn the subtle and slow passing of Torin. With that, it is Nem's turn.
Is he within touch distance?
Of course.
Okay, I'm going to, you know, you're still holding my shield, bend down slightly and touch whatever part of him I can reach.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for an appendage that is not in the core of his body. And I will say, Sylvanus, grant nature's healing upon this noble guardsman in Elven. That would be lay on hands, and I'm going to give you 3 hit points, which means that you're revived.
You have 3 hit points. Torin, you're no longer making death saves. You're lying there prone, badly injured, and an owlbear looms over you and them.
Just play dead. For now.
Really?
I just don't want him to attack you if you pop up. That's all, because you'll just die again.
But someone else is going to die.
That's okay. This owlbear needs to die.
Is there anything I could do while playing dead to prepare for another round?
What would you like what are you preparing
for?
Is
it his turn now? Because if it's his turn, then it's fine. I was just trying to add color.
That is the end of your turn, Nem. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, Torin's turn. He does not have to make a death save. He has hit points.
I know.
Yay.
What can I do?
Would you like to do?
Can I roll out of the way?
You can roll away. Yeah, you can. It's called disengage, and you can take your action to disengage from the owlbear and move 30 feet away.
Shoot it from far away.
He would not be able to shoot. His action will be to disengage. Then you can take your move action to move away from the owlbear, maybe putting the caravan between you and it.
Is there any way to gain hit points?
You would have to take a short or long rest in order for you to roll your hit die to regain hit points. You have brewing health potions, but they're not ready yet.
I'm on the ground with this owlbear over me. I try to get one leg under me and go the opposite direction.
Into the mud, your boot slicks and slops. How tall are your boots? Are they like calf high or are they short? What are they?
They're calf high.
Even though your boots are calf high, a large squelch of mud slides down the inside of the boot as you get your leg under you haphazardly and acrobatically roll away to disengage and move the 30 feet towards Fifrud or towards the front of the caravan.
Towards Fifrud.
With that, you've disengaged. You join your comrade. Do you say anything to him?
Watch the beak.
Beak's got bite, does it?
Bark says bite.
You hold your wounds closed with a hand. Your bow, somehow the bowstring has remained untouched by the mud of the filthy caravan road. Nice. As you laid there. So you do have the ability to draw forth. Oh, you look down. Somehow or other, your quiver is still there and all your arrows are still intact as well. But it is, unfortunately, the owlbear's turn. Mm-hmm. And Nem is standing there. So the owlbear will bite at our lovely lady friend with a 22 to hit.
That would be a hit.
So that would be 10 damage with the beak.
All right.
As it snaps out and brutally gouges you in the armpit with that hook part of the underside of the beak, and the top clamps down and nearly rips Nem's arm right out of its socket and shakes Nem. The rain and water and blood flies freely as Nem is rended. With that, it takes its second action because it has two. Mm. It then charges. Oh. It leaves you laying there in the dirt because you're not moving. It charges 40 feet to swipe at Torin. Torin, I have a total of 13 to hit you. Is that enough?
No.
Then yeah, that's what it is. All right. It hits you in your, I'm assuming, leather armor?
Yes.
Rending a chunk right out of it with its claws. The thigh of your leather armor just catches it. And it is now, in fact, Fifrud's turn.
How big are these horses?
They're draft horses. They're large.
So, and there's two on each wagon?
Yep.
Is there any way that one horse could carry a wagon by itself?
Make a survival check.
10.
You're not too sure. Maybe. They seem like really heavy caravan wagons, carrying lots of things.
Right.
And that two horses seems in this muck and mud.
Fair. Sacred Flame's not working. I'm going to run up to Nem and cast Spare the Dying.
In order to do that, you'll have to run past the owlbear, who will get an attack of opportunity on you.
Then I will run to the other side of the caravans and try firing my crossbow at it.
Then it will have partial cover for being in amongst the caravan wagons from you to it.
Okay.
Also, you would need to spend your action to disengage to not incur that attack of opportunity.
Oh, it's right next to me right now?
Yeah, I mean, it just swiped right at Torin. He was standing right next to you. You're right up there together.
I could just smack it with my mace and hope I don't die.
That would be something you could do too.
How much health do you have right now, Torin?
3.
Or I could cast Cure Wounds. I'm going to...
You have many options. Choose one of them.
So many things I can do.
The world is your
oyster. Welcome to D&D. Yeah.
Despite the fact that you're but level one, you still have a plenitude of options.
I still have more than enough options for my option paralysis to kick in. This is great. I'm going to give it a smack on the noggin with my mace.
All right.
18.
That's a hit.
Huzzah.
Yay.
8 bludgeoning damage.
And he gets angry.
He creels angrily, but does not seem to be particularly hurt or phased at this point from your horrible strike. It is now Nem's turn.
I would like to make a death save.
Absolutely. Cool. Go for it, Nem.
1.
Oh.
I believe a 1 is a failure. And then another failure.
Is it 2?
No, it's just 1. I'm not.
Oh, really?
This is not Grindr.
Okay.
You have failed.
Ouch.
The tunnel of death comes ever closer to your character.
I feel myself, my spirit fading, and I haven't truthfully gotten revenge upon all of my enemies.
With that, it is Torin's turn, knowing that the angry and violent owlbear will soon follow.
It's my fault for not thinking of something and getting him enraged with the well-placed arrow. It's my fault that I ran to Fifrud and that he didn't have a chance to react and need to do something else. So
there's a lot of blame going on here.
A lot of self-blame to Torin. So he realized the owlbear is right next to him. He's not going to use his short swords.
Yeah, a pair of short swords come out. All right. With the action, I assume, of throwing your hands forward, you're going to gut the owlbear with your short swords.
Like a fish.
Yes.
That would not be the action. That he would need a soft, malleable blade with which to cut the skin away from the fist. Oh, all right, fine.
So I need a hit roll?
Yes, please do.
For both short swords?
I believe you only get to have one attack, so you only get to roll one of them.
You might still want to do your long sword, but that's okay.
That's 11 plus whatever.
11 plus 2 is 13. 13's all you need.
So those are 1d6 plus 4.
Yes.
And for each of them.
Just 1d6, though.
I thought that with two-weapon fighting, you got to use both weapons, but you...
You have two-weapon fighting?
When you were using two weapons, you just didn't get to add your proficiency bonus to the second attack.
He doesn't have the ability to attack with two weapons yet.
So I'm only hitting with one of these short swords.
One short sword.
Okay.
Strike.
So that's 4 plus 4, 8.
The owlbear looks... half of its hit points have been... taken care of.
We're so dead. And it's the owlbear's turn.
It is the owlbear's turn. He will attack Fifrud.
Oh.
Fifrud, what's your armor class?
With my shield out, it's an 18.
I have a 20 to hit.
Oh, jeez.
I do 10 damage with the beak.
Down to 1 point.
then it will claw you as well. Let's follow through. I have a natural 18, so I believe that's a hit. And yep. You are down.
Both the healers are down.
Yep.
Dang it.
That was the owlbear's turn. It turns, it glares its beady eyes. Viscera drips from its mouth that it has torn free from the abdomen of Fifrud. There is the tail. A hairy, like lightly hairy tail. What color? Let's see, grayish tail hanging from the beak of the owlbear. And a small figure is gulped down the owlbear's gullet.
No! Not my mousy pal. I just remembered I had him. This isn't fair.
Oh, no.
Fifril. No.
Had to look up his name.
All right.
No, I didn't. I knew it. It was there. It was right in front of me the whole time.
Can I get a death saving throw from Fifrud?
Sure. 15.
You have succeeded in saving against death.
The first successful death saving throw of the evening.
Nem, it's your turn.
All right. I would like to succeed at a death saving throw. We'll see what happens. Oh, 11.
That is a save. Torin. Your friends lie in the mud and the rain, broken and battered. The owlbear is facing you, slurping a tail.
He's only got half his hit points down. I already put 18 plus 8, 26 plus his 8.
The good 34. News is most of the caravan at this point has passed. It's coming up on the sixth wagon is now passing.
So we've almost protected the caravan, guys.
Nobody's answering you right now.
We're not even conscious. I'm pretty sure half my guts are on the floor.
I don't think he actually said that out loud. For sure, you guys didn't. So.
Emotions must not cloud our logical thinking. That's one of my ideals. So, continue.
All right, continue attempting your attacks. Roll away.
10?
That is not enough to hit the owlbear.
Okay.
On that, do these short swords count as light weapons? I believe they are. You can use two weapons to fight if they are light weapons.
That means you get to roll, but you do not get to add your ability modifier to the damage of the second attack.
So that first attack that I did, I rolled a 4. I added this one.
Fighting with two weapons is complicated in this game.
I'll gladly retcon this to allow you to have made a second attack with your short sword. Roll your hit.
13.
It's more than enough since you rolled a 13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the minimum you needed to hit the owlbear. So now you roll your d4, and that's all you do. You're just doing an extra d6 damage.
2.
2 damage.
Great.
Yeah.
You were moving forward. This is now your turn. We retconned the previous action so that you could use that second strike with your other short sword. What would you like to do with your turn, this turn?
Okay, that was previous turn. Don't know whether we have enough. You guys are already down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're down.
Yeah, I don't have as much experience in this game, so.
2d20, because you'll use your action and a bonus action to attack with the other weapon.
119, 13. Natural.
Well, the 19 definitely hits. The 3 does not. Roll your d6. Now, here's the question that you'll need to separate those dice so that we know which one is which, because one of those attacks did get your ability modifier to add into the damage, and the other one does not. But we'll say in this instance that the 19 was your principal attack with your main hand. Your right hand or left hand is your main hand?
We'll say right.
Your right hand will have hit. Roll your d6, get to add your ability modifier to the damage. And you did a total of?
10.
Thank you. It looks very badly hurt at this point. That other attack with your other hand missed. It is now the owlbear's turn. And if I was a kind dungeon master, that owlbear would have choked on that mouse, coughed and spluttered, and while still choking on it, trying to attempt to work it down its gizzard, it would have backed away from the caravan, trying desperately to breathe on the body of the poor dead mouse. But I'm not, so I'm just going to roll to attack Torin.
It's because I made you look up rules, isn't it?
It could be. He misses with his beak. However, his slashing claw comes forward and misses as well. Perhaps in some small way, he is choking. Fifrud, it's your turn. Make a death save.
Oh God. 16.
Nem, make a death save.
Okay. 7.
You have failed. That is number 2.
Yeah.
It is now your turn, Torin.
She called upon her god to raise me.
To heal you, yes.
Do I have a god?
I don't know. That's not something we've discussed with Torin before. Does Torin have a deity that he worships? A nature god would be Sylvanas. That would be a viable choice for Torin. If he did not have a god before, perhaps this is the god now, but that is your choice. What would you like to do with
attack.
Your attack? You're going to attack again. Now, please choose one of the two different dice and tell me which one is the offhand.
Offhand is the extra dice I was given.
Okay. The blue die. Perfect.
18.
Four.
For the primary.
The primary. Roll that damage right now.
6.
And now roll the damage for the secondary.
If I hit.
What did you get?
16.
This is just a d6 and nothing more.
4.
The owlbear dies.
Yay! All Torin. All the time. I'm dying, by the way.
It makes no sound at all. It splutters and dies.
Choked on a mouse.
Each of your characters has a glimmer berry in their pocket, if you would recall. There were 3 glimmer berries remaining. It was 2 or 3. I can't recall. So I will err in favor of the players at this point. Does anyone remember what I said a glimmerberry does?
Doesn't it restore?
Well, we're unconscious. Can we answer?
I'm asking the players.
Oh, yeah.
As smart as Lucas is, you are not currently unconscious.
Thanks.
So you may answer that question.
Yeah, I believe you said it was a D4 healing.
Don't believe I ever said that.
I thought it gave us a hip, like one hit point.
They were used in restoration magic. They're what we're using for the healing potions. I know that much.
Does it have to be ingested?
Definitely has to be the case. It has to be eaten.
Which is hard to do when you're unconscious. Maybe we can set up some kind of glimmerberry digestive tube.
It's like
a feeding tube.
You're going to have to
chew them up and put them in our mouths like a mother bird.
Can I stuff a glimmerberry down one of the other's throats?
Now we're not only dying, but if we do succeed our saving throws, we choke.
Choking. I've got to make better choices here.
It's fine. You killed the owlbear. That was epic. Good job.
I thought it had a lot more hit points, to be honest.
You did a lot of damage.
It's your turn, Torin. You have attacked. You still have your movement left. You feel the glimmerberry in your pocket. And I will allow you to pull out the glimmerberry for a free action.
I will pull out the glimmerberry for a free action.
Dashing to a fallen comrade and feeding that berry to them. However, both lay unmoving on the ground. So you'll have to tell me which one you're going to choose to save, not knowing how close to death either of them are. Who do you choose in the moment?
Nim, because she saved me at the time.
Is there any other reason why you choose Nim?
She has the ability to call on her god to heal. I felt that myself. If she could do that to me, she could possibly do that to Fifrud.
Fifrud can cast healing spells as well.
Yeah, he can also do it.
We've known each other a long time. It's kind of my thing.
Oh, right.
He's like a healer. You're like, he could save her.
And he's closer, too.
Yeah, he's like right next to you. Not that I'm arguing my own case very well. I'm really okay with character death. It's okay.
I've never had a character that died before.
I've only had characters that have died. No. So I thought I was gone when when that owlbear first got me that first time. I was like, okay, now what do I do?
Rip the sheet right then.
He's gotten better at killing because of this meat grinder.
Yeah, right. That was good. Didn't actually rip his character sheet, everyone.
He just blew on it.
What?
That's so cool.
My glimmerberry goes to Fifrud, specifically because he is the closest. I know time is of the essence.
You can definitely make a dash to either. I'm glad that you have wrestled with that difficult decision to make in character and then made a non-meta game related choice to save Fifrud. But
what does that mean?
Well, what that means is that you have knowledge that Marie Claire's character sheet has 2 X's on it already and Fifrud has 0 X's on it, which means Nem is so much closer to death. But I am happy that you made that tough choice and made a good in-character decision that he is closer. He would be able to do more. If I give him the glimmerberry, he will live. He can then turn to save Nem.
His turn is before mine.
Very closely. That makes perfect sense for me. However, I'm not so cruel as to allow a 50-50 chance on Nem's death. So what I will do is say, can you make a quick medicine check to determine who has stopped breathing? And we'll allow your medicine check. And I'm only looking for a DC 12 to make that choice. So if you get higher than a 12 on this, you will see that Nem is in far greater need. And if you get lower than 12, you can go on with that Fifrud choice.
12.
That is all you needed to know, that Nem needed you to save her first.
All right.
Sound effects.
What I would love is for David to describe his character's action now.
After my free action of taking my berry out, I make a mad dash to where she is to plunge that down her throat.
Masticating it for her, regurgitating it like a mother bird unto its child.
That would take more than my turn.
That would, of course, take too much time.
She doesn't get that amount of attention.
I'm going to say that you crush the berry and the juices roll into her open mouth. You push the berry in. Nem, you gain one hit point.
Yay!
But it's not your turn, Nem. It is Fifrud's turn. Roll a death save, Fifrud.
12.
You have saved against death. You are unconscious, but not dying. You may now erase all of those. So I can do it to you again another time.
No, they're blocked off now.
It's permanent. Kyle. I never have to worry about this again.
We can erase our...
Not your failures. Only the successes.
Oh, I removed my success.
If you have a success but you have two failures, the success remains as well at the moment.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You're unconscious. You're at zero hit points. You slumber peacefully in the muck.
Painfully?
But also fitfully, which means... He is not dead.
Huzzah!
You dream of a small mouse climbing up your chest and nuzzling your neck, your under chin, whiskers tickling your lovely chin.
I feel like a part of me knows. I feel like a part of me just knows. And this is like Fifril's spirit coming to me in a dream, saying goodbye.
So I will tell you all that...
Fifril didn't get any saving throws?
Well, Fifril was eaten. but Fifril on the way down... did 1 point of damage to the bear's throat, which actually was... Torin did not do enough damage. This bear had 57 hit points. The owl bear did. And is a challenge rating 3, which is way beyond what you guys should be handling. But you had a whole bunch of options that you could have dealt with because the bear was not immediately hostile, that you could have attempted some sort of cajole.
I'm so sorry.
But nonetheless, adventure was had.
My first impulse from going to Banff and hearing everything about bears was, oh, we have to bang the pots together and scare it away.
That would have been a viable animal handling choice.
I don't think my character would have known that.
And he was next to the caravan with the pots.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was way at the back. There was no way I could...
Nonetheless... It's dead. You figured out what to do with the beast.
I'm going to go and pump some hit points into Fifrud so that he can stand up.
You can grant him one hit point?
Yeah. I'm going to say, may nature's blessing be upon you and touch you gently about the face. Like, I'm holding your face. I'm staring down at you. I imagine it kind of is like when you regain consciousness and somebody's been like doing mouth to mouth, that kind of like... intense, like I'm right in there.
Okay, so Fifrud's eyes gog open and he sees the face of this elven beauty right up in his face. And slightly confused, his first impulse is to pat his pocket.
Okay. Yeah.
At which point...
Just to hold his heart?
He doesn't feel Fifril.
Oh, Fifril's in his pants pocket. That's what you said earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't feel that pocket there. It's wet. And painful when you touch that area of your body.
And then I just start crying.
Where's the caravan
at
this
point? Did I hurt
you? The caravan has stopped. The 8th caravan has passed. But when the owlbear lets out its of death, because it was still choking on the mouse, Arawul Hana suddenly appears next to you, rain streaming down his hat. His expressionless, slightly perturbed face looks at you and says, well, I feel like I got my money's worth from you. The other two of you are blood. Actually, you're all spattered.
We're all spattered.
Covered in mud it is hard to tell where you are bleeding and where you are just muddy. And he says, all right, get yourselves all cleaned up. We'll stop the wagons for here. This is about as good as we can get for lunch. But we will have to keep moving on. So do your best as you can.
Great. We just finished breakfast and we get lunch? That's fantastic. Is owlbear meat good to eat?
Who you're asking? Arul Hana that? Or
do I know that as a character?
You may make a history or a animal handling or a nature check.
I'll do a nature check then. And I rolled a 1.
You're absolutely unsure.
Okay.
You're pretty sure that it is way out of your ability to field dress a muddy owlbear on a caravan with like 1 or 2 hit points. So you're pretty sure it's not going to be a viable choice.
It's just not worth it for at
you.
This point.
No, no. It's going to be just too much for you to handle. But there are pieces of an owlbear that might be valuable. The feathers on an owlbear's head, or the head itself, or the claw of an owlbear. The caravan has stopped.
Is it bad form to take someone else's idea who maybe didn't have a successful role?
He's sitting there thinking and considering things. You look at the owlbear, you look at him, you look back at the owlbear and wonder what he's thinking.
Okay.
By all means, if you would like to make such check yourself, you may.
I would like to do that.
To see if owlbear meat is good to eat.
Because I have training in both history and nature.
Go ahead, make a nature check.
15.
That's not good eating. That's owlbears eat pretty much everything.
No, no, no.
Not a good idea to... You could cure it. It would take a lot of work. Mm. And it would be hard. You'd have to literally cast some spells.
Okay.
To make the meat not
palatable.
It still won't taste good.
Okay.
It still would not taste good. Because at the end of the day, it is still a bear, and that is not good eating.
Let's not eat this, folks.
But your 15 tells you that beak is very sharp, could be used in some capacity. That head could be sold to someone who'd like to buy it, and you know how to remove it in such a way to keep it intact. You could also take some feathers or some claws, but you can't do all of it.
That beak dug into me. I'm keeping it as safekeeping thing.
Might I recommend souvenir. That keep whatever cartilage or bone that you're interested in, but scavengers like to find meat out there in nature, and it does support nature to let it be.
I didn't know you were a tree hugger.
Okay.
I mean, we're all part of nature, aren't we?
There's no meat on the beak. I'll take it.
I mean, there's a tongue and whatnot. You cut everything free. Hmm. Now, there's a couple things you can do. You can turn that beak into a mask, and I will give you advantage on intimidation checks if you can successfully turn that into a really excellent mask. And you could also use the beak to create a new helmet for your character, which would also give you advantage on intimidation checks. Otherwise, the beak could be used in a plethora of other ways that you might be able to come up with yourself. While That's you cool. deliberate on that, as you cut the beak off of this owlbear, its legs twitch feebly.
And I'm going to help pull the corpse into the forest and let it return to nature.
Oh, good. That's really... Yeah, your god smiles down upon you.
Before you do that, can I just check? I want to see if there's a body to recover.
You're cutting the beak free. You're all over the mouth itself. Unfortunately, you do pull out the deceased form of a mouse. However, without even making a check, the scratches and clawing of the interior throat of the owlbear is such that you know that this mouse did not go without the good fight. It indeed raged against the dying of the light.
Okay.
A mouse barian?
Well, I don't know. So much if it was maybe it was like a mouseketeer.
I mean, if we're going to give him a class, we should probably do that.
I relate those perceived heroics to Fifrud.
Fifrud is now holding the mouse in loving hands. I'm going to grant Sylvanus's blessing upon the mouse for dying and avenging its master in the true rightful way of any pet.
I'm going to try casting Spare the Dying on it, see if it has any effect. Or is it very clear that there's just nothing left of it? Nothing savable?
Its body is broken and battered by the workings of the gizzard upon the mouse. It does not look to have been lacerated over much by the attacks of the owlbear's beak. Serrated edges of the beak did not seem to catch the mouse. But your plea to your god seems to go unanswered as the poor animal's lifeless form and does not twitch and return to life in your hands.
All right, so I'm going to be spending some time trying to find a box to bury him in.
You find a box very easily.
Okay, and I bury him at the side of the road.
Near the owlbear, probably.
Probably.
The thing that he laid low. Fifril, the owlbear destroyer, the champion of the
Fifril,
caravan.
Fifril, the owlbear slayer.
Yep, hero of the caravan trail. I might have been a kind GM. I might have said that the mouse is returned to life by your enchanting plea. However, the gods have already smiled upon you once today, and the three of you are effing alive. So I feel like I'm going to take my victories
some kind of
whenever I can get
necessary.
Them. And I'm going to kill your mouse.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode. Tavern Tales presents Dungeon in a Box. Find out more about Dungeon in a Box at www.dungeoninabox.com. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. Find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or on their website, www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter, @BadBillyBand. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or to find us on Twitter @Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.